the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And as you know, we've been looking at the subject of stewardship and how God has given us gifts and resources that when we serve others, we manifest the manifold and varied grace of God to the world. And we've looked already at the fact that the Greek word for gift in this passage is charisma, and the word for grace is charis. So the very gifts that we are given are packages of God's grace to the world. Those two terms are so closely linked, and we're going to see that time and time again, even in the scriptures we look at today, that relationship between grace and gifting. And our gifting, in all its diverse forms, are just expressions of God's grace to the world. And when He is expressed, He is glorified. When the world truly encounters a touch of God's grace, they cannot help but to worship and to glorify and to serve and to honor and to follow Him. And we're the channel of that blessing to the needy world. A word again that we want to highlight, that something else that you're going to see is coming through in the theme of today's message. As we look at start to look at the diversity of the gifts that God has given to the body of Christ. And that word is that word each. It says to each one has been given. In God's distribution of His gifts, nobody is left out. Nobody has an insignificant part to play. Nobody has a lesser part to play, because everybody is given a portion of God's grace to put together into the big puzzle so that the picture of who God is can be expressed to the world. So your gift is as important as the person sitting next to you. It might be incredibly different, but it's as important. Each one is given a gift. And we are called to be a team, and that team is the called out ones, the ecclesia, the people of God, the team of God's church, and often playing together in the local expression like we have here. And then the other beautiful word there that we need to highlight time and time again is that word, we serve each other with the gifts. So that's how the gift is expressed. And the word there is diakonos, and it means to be an attendant. It means to wait upon as a host, a friend, to minister unto, to serve one by supplying anything. And the term servant is so familiar. We almost hear it so much in Christianity, but sometimes we need to just step back and make sure we're not over familiar with a beautiful concept. And it's a concept that we can be reminded of time and time again. Because when we adopt the term servant, it's a powerful connection with the person of Jesus Christ. It's kind of almost, of all the titles that He carries, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, He carries those titles. But those titles are due to Him because of the title of servant. That is almost He has taken to be His own. And if we look in Mark 10 verse 43, we see this. It says this, but it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great amongst you must be your servant, and whoever would be first amongst you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man, and that's a term of great honor, came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. And what a beautiful privilege that we find God has put into our hands, into our lives, a gift by which we can serve others. A gift by which we can identify with the person of Jesus Christ. A gift by which we can align ourselves with the ministry and the glory of who Jesus is, to be His body. There could be no greater honor than to stand with the great servant of all servants, and for Him to have to look at us and say, fellow servant. That's the greatest honor. And the honor that will bring is incredible. And when we say, I want to be a servant, I will serve, we're putting our hand up to be on Team Jesus. to change the world in the same way that he did, to lay down our lives in the same way as he did for others. John Maxwell says this, the best way to find yourself is to give yourself away to others. And that's the heart of servanthood. What a reason to live for. But part of serving others is finding out what our gifts are. And we want to be, in the coming weeks, look at some of what the Bible says. The Bible says a lot about gifts. And we want to find out, what is my gift? So that I can apply it and use it to serve people. How do we know what our gift is? You find truth in strange places. And I found this quote by Pablo Picasso, who was a bit of an interesting individual, to say the least. But he said this. He said, the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of your life is to give it away. And that's so in line with what Peter was saying. He was saying, use the gift that you've been given to serve others. And we have to find out, when we find out what the gift is, what the unique gift mix is that God has given to us, we're able to take those gifts and we're able to give them away. So it's both the finding of the gift and the giving of the gift. And the beautiful thing is, the gifts that God has given to us are really gifts that God is giving through us to the world. And that's the Jesus way. But let's go to the Bible and look at various types of gifts and find out how we can identify with those gifts and maybe come to understand our gifts better. And probably depending on where you are in your walk with the Lord, you might have a clear understanding of the gifts God has given you. Maybe you're still trying to discover what those are. But we're going to look at Romans chapter 12 see if what we can learn from there. Romans 12 verse 3 to 8, it says this, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone amongst you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And it's awesome, this passage is full of such richness. It starts out again with that link between grace and gifts. And Paul says there, a grace has been given to me to teach this truth to you. And he's recognizing that his gift as apostolic teacher is part of the grace that has been given to him. And he says, by the grace given to me. So he's reinforcing that principle that we're talking about. And the next thing we see here is what God is doing. When we read scripture, we should always be looking. What's God doing? What's Jesus doing? What's the Holy Spirit doing? What primarily can we learn about him so that we can respond to him, that we can be receptive of what he's doing, we can get in line with what he's doing. We don't just go to his word for principles. We go to the word for him. And in relation to him, the principles of his word get lived out in our lives. But it's amazing to see here that God's character is love. And the culture and the habit, his habitual practice, is that of sacrificial giving. It's the natural flow of love. And we see here that God is he's the one that's giving gifts. Now we know that God is a Trinity, one of the beautiful mysteries and wonders of our faith. God is expressed as Trinity. And it's really interesting that if we look, each member of the Trinity has gifts attributed to them. And if you look, you can see the gifts of the Spirit, and they're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 7 it says, to each, again there's that word each, to each one, we all see this pattern time and time again, to each is given the manifestation for the common good. And then in verse 11 it says, all these, talking about the gifts, are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So we see here that the Holy Spirit gives a bouquet of gifts to the body of Christ. And again, we see he gives to each one for the common good. It's individually for the group. And that's where the power of this all comes about. But the Holy Spirit is one who has this beautiful, beautiful, like all these expressions of gifts for the body to use. And then we see in Ephesians 4 verse 7, we see the gifts of the ascended Christ. And here we see Jesus with gifts. And it says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Again, here we see the link between grace and gifts. And again, we see here this thing of each one. We see the mention of the each individually, and we see the mention of the host, and we're part of the host. And these are the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of Christ. And in the coming weeks, we're going to look at these gifts as well. But today we're looking at the gifts of the Father. And if we see back in our Romans passage, it talks about here that this is these gifts and the faith that accompanies them. Faith and gifts. It's almost like they go together and they are assigned by God. And here we see the gifts are attributed to God. And these Romans gifts are understood to be strengths and abilities and aptitudes that are actually written into who we are. That we're kind of born with them. And I'm going to unpack it a little bit more. But it's beautiful. If we look into Scripture, we see that God, as the creator of us as an individual, God is he's the author of our DNA. And I mean, you look at DNA, it's this amazing structure of four codes that are just put into all sorts of different combinations. And every single strand of that DNA produces unique features and incredibly unique individuals. And God is the author of that DNA sequence that produces what we are. And it's a miraculous thing, both biologically and spiritually. But God makes us for his purpose. And his hand, his fingerprints are all over us. But let's look at some scriptures. Jeremiah 1 verse 4 says this. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Isn't that incredible? God says to Jeremiah, I planned you even before your embryonic form. And then from the very beginning, I was laying down the blueprint of a prophet. I knew the plan I had for your life, and I made you for the plan. I made you. You were purpose-built for the ministry that I had for you. And he gave Jeremiah a specific gift mix that was going to match what he wanted Jeremiah to do in service of him as he served the world, as he served the people of God. Psalm 139 is beautiful. We used this a bit last week as well. But verse 13, it says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. If I could count them, there would be more than sand. Isn't this a beautiful picture? Doesn't this show you the value of a baby from its very conception? Can you see the intimacy of God's involvement with even an embryonic human in their mother's womb? He says, I saw you. I formed you. I'm involved with you. I'm in relationship with you. And I'm laying down every aspect of your formation. And then again, it's interesting that the psalmist ties it in and he says, every day of my life is written in your book. Not only are you writing my DNA, not only are you forming who I am and how I am, but you're doing it in conjunction with all that you have planned for my life. The purpose that you have for my life It's all part of that beautiful creation, and God sees eye to eye with us, even before we're aware of Him. But isn't that beautiful? And then the psalmist says, how wonderful are these thoughts? How incredible is this? And we've heard this story many times. It's one of those things that we could start to take for granted. Guys, what a precious stamp of value and approval is upon your life, regardless of what people have said or what has happened. God says, this is how much I'm involved with you as a person. Your personhood was my idea. Ben Gamble, you were God's idea. Dorothy Thorpe, you were God's idea. I'm not going to call everybody's name, but hear that affirmation of God. I put you together. I was there right from the start. I wrote your DNA, and I wrote you with value and purpose to be a blessing and expression of myself. That's why you live. And that's worth living for. How precious are these thoughts? How precious is every individual that we sit next to in church? How precious is everyone out there that the devil is trying to kill even before they have a chance to breathe? Ephesians 2 says this. We are His workmanship. We love this passage. What a beautiful passage. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, there we are, the handiwork of God with these beautiful pre-planned works. So much purpose, so much reason to live. This is momentous if we think about it, that we are an expression of who God is, that He is the master artist expressing Himself through our lives. And that expression flows as a blessing to others, that as we add value to their life and be able to point them to Jesus, ultimately to come to salvation in Him. And we are developed with a unique personality, a unique nature, right from our embryonic stage. Personal gifts, abilities, aptitudes, masterfully laid down by the master architect to express what He wants us to be and do. Just, you have to meditate upon that beyond this sermon. And go back to the scripture and say, God, speak. Let me know my worth. As I think about your involvement in my life from before conception, it's quite mind-blowing. Excuse me while I blow my nose. Going back to our Romans passage, I did not expect to get so emotional. Here we see, I think I've got the stuff harder to get. Yeah, we're looking again at just this team nature as to how these beautifully individual and distinctly different gifts work together. And we see this all through the language of Scripture. And here it says, we were many members of one body, but as members of the body, we belong to one another. It's covenant talk. We don't exist in a vacuum. No man is an island. No Christian should be alone. We were meant to be in a body. We function. Our gifts bring meaning. Who we are, we get our meaning from our connection to the body. That's what defines us. And we belong to each other. If we stay out of fellowship, if we keep our gift mixed back from the body, the body is robbed. The body is impoverished. Because to each one is given something that's a member, that's a critical part. And if we hold ourselves back from that team, we're robbing the team of its full power. We're robbing the full expression of who Christ is to the world. And the devil loves to say, yours is not significant. Your life is too broken. You're too much of a mess. God made something wrong. Or even if He made something good, you messed it up. Withhold. Stay away. But no, your gift is as precious masterpiece of God to bring into the puzzle. I've told the story before that C.S. Lewis had a group of friends, and they used to get together, encourage each other, and walk away so enriched. And then one of the guys died, and C.S. Lewis was devastated. And he I don't remember the guy's names, but he did think, he thought, maybe without Sam there, we'll get more of John. You know, there'll be more sort of airtime, and we'll get more of John because we haven't got Sam there. And when they got together the next time, he realized not only was Sam not there, but there was less of John. Because he realized Sam used to bring something out of John. Sam used to stimulate something, and John was much more himself because Sam was there. And that's how the body works, as we all bring our part. We bring our hearts. It grows exponentially in its power of expression. And that's the language of team and body. And then we see here this in the Romans passage, there's also an expression of how we relate as a body. And Paul brings this beautiful language. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. He's saying we've got to preserve this beautiful unity and humility within the body. When we start to compete and compare, when we start to look like up or down, he's saying there's no hierarchy here. This is a body. Every part is crucial. And he's saying don't get into this worldly thing of what's more important and competing and comparing. This is for cooperating and complementing. He says don't do that. He says all these gifts are given for the common good. And then we're going to go to verse 7. If we go to verse 7, and I think there's a different slide, Jade, with different highlighting, although it's also Romans. Here we see again that link between grace and gifts. It's like almost in every one of these passages. And here it says there's a real challenge, and I love that in verse 6. It says, let us use them. And this is a real challenge because we've been given gifts, we've been given talents. We don't want to bury them. We don't want to say, oh Lord, I'm afraid to mess it up with my gift. What if I get it wrong? God, maybe you'll give me a smack because I got it wrong. The Bible says, no, don't do that. Use the gift that God has given you. Grow in it, learn in it, fail in it, and hone it. But use the gift you've given. And it's a real challenge to us to be a body that uses its gifts, every single one of them. And if we look in this passage, and we're going to get a little bit a bit more specific now, and I'm not going to finish with it this week. We're going to carry on with it next week. As we look, there are 7 gifts mentioned here in Romans. And they're really interesting gifts. There's a couple, an American couple called Don and Katie Fortune, who've written a number of books around these gifts. They're very similar to the 5 love languages. That they've done studies about the love languages that people use. And these guys have looked into these gifts, and they've studied a lot of people. They've made surveys, and they've studied hundreds of people. And they've learned stuff about how these gifts manifest within the body of Christ. That's quite interesting. And it seems that these Romans gifts are almost like, they call them the motivational gifts. Because they're partly how we're motivated, but then also they're sort of what makes us tick and what inspires us. But then to go with that motivation, there's very often an aptitude and an ability to do those things. And as a result of that aptitude within us, it kind of gives us a propensity to operate different, you know, more in other gifts. The other gifts, the gifts of the Spirit or whatever gifts that Jesus gives. It's almost like they're the foundation for the type of ministry that God is giving us. And they're the equipment for the job. In some ways, they're almost like a spiritual personality. And we're going to look at that start to look at this scenario. A way to look at it is with a simple illustration. We're having a potluck, and someone comes with a whole lot of bowls of ice cream. They walk into the church hall with a whole lot of bowls of ice cream, balancing these bowls of ice cream, but they've taken on too many many bowls of ice cream and they drop them all over the floor. And the rest of the church is watching as this poor person drops all the ice cream bowls. And then there are default reactions to what's just happened within different people. And I want you to think about that. If you saw that happening, what would your default thought be? What would your default, what would you say if you were to say something? That's the picture that these guys used to try and explain these gifts. And what we're going to do is look at the seven gifts now and the different responses to that simple scenario and see if maybe something resonates in your heart and if you see yourself. What these guys have done is they've surveyed people as they see, most people are pretty strong in one or two of these gifts and then sort of less strong in the others. So you might find all of them operating, but normally, just as in a personality, sometimes some things are a bit more strong. The first one they look at is prophecy, and they call it perceiving, because they're not talking specifically about the spiritual gift, the gift of prophecy. But there's almost like people that are they're prophetically wired. They're able to see things very clearly. They have it like a prophetic dispensation almost. So it's called they're called perceivers or perceiving or prophesying. These people see everything in black and white. It's there's no gray to them. And someone in our family scored quite high in this in the survey, at the one time we asked them if there was any alcohol in a rock shandy. Now, in South Africa, a rock shandy is a mixture of lemonade and soda water, and there's like two drops of Angostura bitters in it. And someone asked, "Oh, is a rock shandy got any alcohol in it, or is it alcoholic?" So I was like, "No, it's got a drop of Angostura bitters, which is I don't know what it's." Anyway, but this member of the family said, no, it's definitely alcoholic. It's got two drops, so whether it's 0.00%, that's what the perceivers, it's black and white. There's no question about it. They're very perceptive. They often speak boldly and forthrightly. They often see things how they're meant to be. And they very often get used in the gift of prophecy or word of knowledge or whatever. When they look at the dropped ice cream scenario, they say, I could have seen that coming. You shouldn't have tried to carry so many plates. That's I don't know if that was your default response when you thought about it. The next one of the gifts is a server. Now, servers are people who love to meet practical needs within a body. They love showing hospitality. They love just putting on that special touch that meal, that bakery, that stuff that will be a blessing to people. They love to show love through deeds and actions. They fit very well into helps and service ministries within a church. When they see the ice cream being dropped, they say, "Don't worry, I'll clean it up," and they rush off to get a cloth. Then we have the teacher. Teachers love to study. They love to present the truth logically. They want the truth to be established in every situation. They often have a large vocabulary. When they see the ice cream being dropped, they go, the reason that happened was the bowls weren't properly balanced. This is my highest one, and it's horribly soul-revealing, because next week we're going to also look at how these gifts have accompanying weaknesses until maturity comes, and it's really quite interesting. Then number four, we have the exhorter, and the exhorter or encourager, just to use a more modern word. Exhorters love to encourage others. They love to develop others' ministries. They love to do personal counseling, and they often have a very positive attitude. They like when they come into the room, they lift it up, they lift everybody up, they see everything as a glass half full, and they have a lovely energy. When they look at the ice cream scenario, they go, don't worry, it was only some ice cream, we all make mistakes. So they bring comfort and exhortation and encouragement. Then we have a giver. and a giver. They love to give money and time and possessions generously. They love to give high quality gifts. They often have a strong belief in tithes and offerings, and they quite often have great natural skill in business. God gives them that ability to back up the gift. They're often very good in business. When they see the ice cream drop, they say, "I'll go and buy some more ice cream." That's how I know to fix this. And then you have the leader. A lot of translations say administrator. But I saw a nice definition about administration. This is not talking about admin per se, like in doing the filing, but this is administrating events. And administration, one of the definitions is to organize the affairs of men in line with the purposes of God. That's more what church leadership is, to administer the affairs of men in line with what God wants to do. These guys have they're very visionary and task orientated. They enjoy supervising others. They enjoy accomplishing goals, and they're very, very organized. When they see the ice cream dropped, they go, "John, please make sure you pick up all the pieces of glass. Sally, wipe the ice cream spots off the wall. Jack, please make a sign. Please be careful in the kitchen." So they're the organizers. I see some people smiling. Maybe that rings true. And then finally, we have the carer. And the carers, they're just like heart people. They've got the capacity to show love. They love acts that relieve suffering. They're motivated to help people. They're the guys that just cannot watch suffering on TV without crying. Like breaks their heart. They've got that particularly soft heart towards the needs of others. When they see the drop to ice cream, they say, "You must feel terribly upset. Come here, let me give you a hug." And all of those seven gifts, as I say, it's almost like a personality type. Now, we don't look at these things as a cop-out. We're going to see that. It's not, we're all called to serve, we're all called to give, we're all called to teach others as we disciple them. We're all called to be servants, and we're all called to care. But just sometimes within a body, there are people who are wired for that, man. They just love that. And when they look at a situation, they're gonna bring their gift to that situation. And depending on what your strongest gift or couple of gifts is what you're going to bring. But what is so important is when we get a picture of this, we start to understand that the guy standing next to me is different. And they're not better or worse, but we all, this beautiful expression of the manifold grace and glory of God. And as we start to learn to work together, this beautiful picture, all the facets come into place. And people can be touched by God. Sometimes people need to hear the truth from a perceiver. But they also need the love and the care of someone else. And as the body begins to work together, the perceiver learns the mercy and the care. They learn that softness. If there was just prophetic people in the church, we'd scare the world away. But if the prophetic people are learning from the carers and the mercy showers, then we get a beautiful softening. We get a beautiful synergy. And that's why Jesus says, "You're my body. Everything that I was, put different parts of me into you. You work together. You bring me glory. You express, you're my expression to the world." We become a powerful team. As I said, we'll do a little bit more, look into this, just the way these gifts interact, the way we understand each other, the way we need to grow. So, but I want to close with this Romans 12 passage read from the Message. I'm reading verse 4-6 in the Message, and obviously it's a sort of quite a loose paraphrase, but it just captures the heart of this thing beautifully. "In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we are talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. But But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves to each other or trying to be something we aren't. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you so much for scripture that reveals who you are. That you're a God full of grace. You're a God full of gifts. You're a God who's bursting to express all of that to the world. And you've chosen us, Lord, to be your body. You've chosen us to be that expression. And oh, Lord, the enemy knows the power of this, and he's caused division, and he's caused strife, and he's caused all sorts of nonsense to try and break the power of what the church is called to be. But thank you, Lord, we can come around your word. We can align ourselves with your word. We can let the word charge us. And Lord, help us to understand our gifts, Lord God. And no tool like we looked at today is perfect. But God, as we look into your scripture, we get an understanding of the difference, the beauty of the difference, and the power of the difference working together, Lord. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in each one of our hearts. But not just in us, Lord God, but in us. Not in us, just us singular, but in us plural, Lord. As we grow together, help us to grow in our understanding of each other's gifts. Getting to know each other, getting to know what makes the other tick. And how we can work together, how we can complement each other, how we can temper each other, how we can inspire each other, how we can sharpen each other. Would you do that in us, Lord? We give you our hearts, Lord. We give you ourselves. We take our gifts and we say, Lord, they're not for us. They're for you. They're for your glory. Command us. Show us what they are and where we are to give them. How we are to serve with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship him and think on his word.